Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Today, we are talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And to kick us off, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it says this, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." A couple quick things for some of us, reminders to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a mist. He's not a cloud. He's not a fog. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, the Godhead three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in no way inferior to the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is not 2IC to Jesus. He is not the assistant regional manager. He is not the assistant to the regional manager. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God. In the book of Acts, we read about the day of Pentecost, and that's the day the Holy Spirit descended. It's not the day the Holy Spirit came into existence. It's the day he descended and filled the disciples. Pentecost means 50. And the day of Pentecost happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. We believe that there are key moments in the life of a Christian, and they include salvation, they include water baptism, and spirit baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is a part of all three moments. In salvation, the Holy Spirit convicts the person of sin, is the agent of regeneration in the process of being born again. In the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit raises the Christian and empowers them to live their new life in Christ. The baptism of the Spirit is when the person is fully immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit to live out the mission of Christ upon the earth. The word baptism means immersed. Pastor Dave Hall, a great friend of our church, and he's preached on this very stage, behind this very pulpit many times for us. He says this, being Pentecostal is not a denomination. It's not a style of church. Pentecost is an experience with God. It's important we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we teach on it, that we have good theology on it. But it would be a discredit to the teaching of the baptism of the Holy Spirit if all we did was talk about it and not experience it for ourselves. Pre-Christ, the presence of God could only be experienced in the temple and only by the priest. Post-Christ, the presence of God no longer resides in the temple, but in his people, in you and I. When the curtain of the temple was torn in two, it gave us access to God's presence. So this morning, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe you've just done our foundations course, there's going to be an opportunity, a moment, where we're going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. For a lot of you, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but if you want to, if you need to, we're going to get filled afresh here this morning. We're going to open up the altar And we're gonna come and we're gonna get filled afresh. Our prayer team's gonna pray with you. But before we do any of that, if you haven't never received Jesus, there'll be an opportunity for that too. Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit empowers. He does not control. That's the other guy. He empowers. He makes Christianity, he makes being a Christian possible. When we have the Holy Spirit living in us, our lives bear the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. You don't get to pick and choose. They're not based on your personality or your Enneagram. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The Holy Spirit brings to life the gifts that are inside of you. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. 1 Corinthians 14:1, later on it says this, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to equip us. The gifts are distributed as He determines and according to His will. And I believe as we come on the altar here this morning and be baptized and be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, I believe gifts are going to be awoken. Maybe gifts that were once upon a time in use, but for whatever reason are laying dormant. Maybe because of discouragement. Maybe because of disappointment. Maybe because of fear. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Maybe it's because of complacency. You don't ever retire from working for God. And by working, I'm not talking about works. The Bible says the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. We might retire in an earthly sense from our careers, but we don't ever retire from following Jesus, from building His church, from reaching the lost. And I believe God wants to do something in some of us here this morning as we come on the altar, as we get baptized, as we get filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. I believe gifts are going to come, are going to be awoken, that our gifts that have been laying dormant are going to become awoken here today as we get on the altar and we let the Holy Spirit do what only He can do. Some of the spiritual gifts that the Bible talks about, and important to note, they are not limited to this list. Also important to note, these gifts are not meant to function just within the four walls of the church. You can use them anytime, any place. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of discernment, teaching, shepherding, the gift of faith. About 10 years ago, I had a tumor cut out of my throat, out of my vocal cords. And by tumor, it was nothing cancerous. It was nothing life and death, but it was life and death for my vocal cords. Long story short, after much therapy and voice therapy and prayer, I came good. But in that time, and I'll never forget it, Pastor Phil Pringle prayed for me. And it was just him and I. And if I was honest, I was feeling pretty flat and feeling pretty faithless. And he prayed this simple prayer that I'll never forget. He said, God, Daniel might not have the faith, but I've got the faith. And I believe he's going to be fine. The fact that he had the faith gave me the faith. Point is this, these gifts, they are not for you. They are to help and serve others. The gift of evangelism, the gift of exhortation, the gift of administration, the gift of encouragement. I coach my son, Taylor Bloom's football team, the under 10 Narrabeen Tiger Sharks. And we've had, thus far, we've had 3 wins from 3 games, Jackson. We won 6-1, we won 17-1, and we won 12-1. By football, I don't mean rugby or rugby league, even though those scores may reflect such sports. I mean soccer. By the sounds of it, these boys don't need much encouragement. But for me, as coach, that's my goal. That's the goal, to use the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of encouragement, to impart courage into these kids. And I pray it has a lifelong impact on them. Again, these gifts aren't meant to function just within the four walls of the church. You can use them anytime, any place. The gift of giving, the gift of generosity, miracles, healing, hospitality, leadership, the gift of mercy and compassion. And I straight away think of Bill McCudden. And I know of a situation this week where Bill has been with a family in hospital. It's a devastating situation, and he has been there comforting them, praying with them. Can I say, you don't need the gift of compassion to be compassionate. It's called being a Christian. But some of us, these are very evident gifts, the gifts of prophecy, the gift of serving, helping. A gift that comes with being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And you can read more about it in your Bible. And here at C3SYD, being a Pentecostal church, we believe that this is a gift we can all access. We are a speaking in tongues church. You might be here wondering what speaking in tongues is. It might sound like a weird concept. It is weird. It's not of this earth. It's a heavenly language, a prayer language. Not in English. You don't necessarily understand what you are praying. Everyone speaking in tongues is different and sounds different, but it's the Holy Spirit praying in you and through you. It's uttering mysteries in the Spirit, the Bible calls it, and it edifies your inner man. When you speak in tongues, you are disconnecting your tongue from your head, and you are connecting your tongue with your spirit. And it may feel a little clunky, even unnatural at first, but something eventually pops. Paul says this, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. But he also says, I would rather you prophesy. Some people interpret this to mean that speaking in tongues isn't as important. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. In fact, he expresses a desire for everyone to speak in tongues. The reason he elevates prophecy is because it builds up the church. It builds up others. Whereas speaking in tongues primarily edifies and builds up the individual. This is why I love to speak in tongues. And this is what I want to encourage you in here today. When you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues. When you don't know what to say, speak in tongues. Have you ever been in a situation or have had to journey through something and have not known what to pray, let alone know what to say? This is the beauty of this gift. The Holy Spirit prays through you. When I was 22 years of age, I went through an incredible, difficult season of my life. Probably still to this day, it's probably up there. And I've since, you know, experienced other difficult situations. But I remember being 22 years of age, going through what I went through. And I didn't have the words to say. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to pray or even say to God. And it took some warming up to it. But I began to speak in tongues and would speak for hours in tongues, just lost for words. Didn't know what to say, didn't know what to pray. And I would just speak in tongues and cry out to God. Maybe at first, you know, I started a little depleted or whatever, but eventually something pops. As you speak in tongues, what you're doing is edifying. You are strengthening your inner man. And I tell you what, my situation and circumstance didn't necessarily change, but something changed on the inside of me when I spoke in tongues. I edified, I strengthened my inner man, my faith was stirred. And that is the beauty and the power of this gift. When you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues. When you don't know what to say, speak in tongues. If I can have the worship team come up on stage and join me. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about it. Even those of us filled with the Holy Spirit, we can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a prude, but our actions, our attitudes, the things that come out of our mouth, undealt with sin, those things and more can quench, can grieve the Holy Spirit. When Michal mocks David as he danced undignified before the Lord, the scripture goes on to say that she could not have children. See, cynicism will stop fruitfulness. And although the scripture is talking about a physical barrenness, I'm talking about it in a metaphorical sense. It relates to any area of your life. It will stop you being fruitful. It will stop us together as a church being fruitful. And so we need to have an awareness, be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Let us never get complacent, over familiar with the Holy Spirit. Let us be quick to repent. Ephesians 5 verse 18, it says this: don't be drunk with wine, which has a very literal meaning. But we can also get drunk on power, fame, fortune, money. Can be anything really. But it says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say this: singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. So there's a connection here with worship. Worship softens us. It helps ready our heart. It helps unlock and unblock us. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. And there's something about worship that creates an atmosphere for God to move. Worship is key to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a key that unlocks something in us. Speaking of worship, it's not a question of, do you worship? It's a question of, what do you worship? Or really, who do you worship? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I want you to know this here this morning. I want you to know that God loves you, that he sent his Son Jesus to die for you, that God has a plan and purpose for your life.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.